We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The little boy sensed an air of anticipation in the room as he sat next to his father in that synagogue. Jesus was to come. He didn't know who Jesus was, but he heard about him. And he heard he was a man that had lived there in that village for some time, but he'd been gone for a while. And reports came back that he'd been out teaching in other towns, and that he had quite a gift for teaching. And they were all eager to hear it. As Jesus walked in, he was handed the scroll of Isaiah. He unrolled it, and he began to speak, and the little boy listened carefully to each word. And Jesus began, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And the little boy's mind stopped there on that word poor. He wasn't sure if there were any poor people in their village. Nobody had a lot, but he didn't know if there were any poor people. And then Jesus went on, "And to bring release to the captive." And the little boy thought, "I don't know if anybody's captive." He did remember somebody that the Romans had taken off to jail. Maybe he was a captive. And Jesus went on, "And to give sight to the blind." And the little boy thought, "Oh, my grandfather is blind." And then he said, "And to let the oppressed go free." And again, the little boy wasn't sure about oppressed. And finally, Jesus said, "And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus handed the scroll back and sat down, and they waited for the teaching moment. But Jesus simply said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The little boy looked up at his father and he said, "Daddy, what did he say? Who is he going to help? Who are those people?" When we hear these words today, they may sound as vague to us as they did to that little boy. He may not be able to think of who Jesus is talking about. We know, of course, that he was quoting Isaiah, and that was written at a time when Israel had been in captivity, had been oppressed by the Babylonians. But we also know that those words can have a deeper meaning. They can have a metaphorical meaning. Because what does it mean to be poor? It means to not have something you need. So how many times have we said, "Oh, I wish I had more money, more time, more patience, more friends, more skills"? And often the lack of those things brings us fear and frustration, and we feel poor for it. And then what does it mean to be oppressed or to be a captive? It means, doesn't it, that there's a wall in front of you and that you aren't able to progress the way you want, or to accomplish what you want, or to find the peace or the stability you yearn for, that there's something in the way that keeps you from doing that. And how often is that true for us? That there are things that seem to hold us back, whether they're inside of us or outside of us, that make us angry and frustrated and undermine our peace. What is it that when you come to the end of the day drives you to that bottle of aspirin, or if you're an adult, to a glass of wine or a can of beer to, you know, take the edge off the day? What is it that makes us, you know, plop ourselves down in front of the TV or pick up a book that we've been reading or play a video game just to forget the day? What are those things that hold us captive? And then how are we the blind? It's so easy to be blind to the needs of people who are different from us. White people have often had that happen. I mentioned last week a long conversation I had with a friend who's an African-American elderly woman, and she said something that at first I didn't understand where she was going with it. She said, as she reminisced about her life, that when she was a young woman, she would buy nylon hose, and she would make a very strong tea. And when the tea had cooled down, she would put her hose in this tea water and leave it there overnight. And then in the morning, she would take it out and she would rinse it with cold water. And do you know where she was going with this? You do, don't you? In order to have hose that would be her color, she had to do this. And I think how strange it is that in corporations and manufacturing companies that probably were predominantly white, that for so long they were blind to the need for hose of a different color, band-aids of a different color, makeup of a different color. Why are we so blind? Why are we so blind to the hardships of people unlike us? A friend of ours rode along with the Webster Groves police, a ride along at night. And he was surprised. It hadn't occurred to him how every time the police officer stopped someone for a traffic stop or went to their home, he didn't know what to expect. When he stopped them along the interstate, it was night. He didn't know how many people were in the car. He didn't know if anyone had a gun. He didn't know what he was up against. Each time, it was a risk and a danger. And I think, you know, how helpful it would be if there was some way that police could do a walk-along with some of our young black African men who are in parts of the city that are governed by gangs and drugs to maybe better understand their dangers. It's so easy for us to be blind to the needs and the dangers and the hardships of people if we're not just like them. So we are the ones that Jesus is talking to. We are the ones who are poor and oppressed and blind. But then Jesus says, I came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, some people have thought that Jesus was referring here to the old tradition in Leviticus about the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, Israel was supposed to forgive all debts. And if someone lost their land because of a debt, they were to get it back. It's not surprising to know they never really did this, but it was to help them understand that everything they owned really belonged to God. But others would say that's not what Jesus was referring to here when he said to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that he instead was proclaiming the beginning of a new era. And the writer of Luke sees it that way, that when John the Baptist was beheaded, that was the end of the era of the prophets. And when Jesus came on and began his ministry, it was the beginning of the church. Another way to translate those words is to say that Jesus said that this is the beginning of the era of God's welcome. I like that. God's welcome. I mean, we like the word welcome, right? You think, you know, and she welcomed them with open arms. It's a great term. We want to be welcomed. We want to be part of something. We want to be accepted, included, valued. And that is exactly what God is saying to us today in these words. That yes, we are often poor and it frightens us. We are oppressed by things. We are blind to things. But God welcomes us. And when we're afraid because we don't have enough days left in our lives or enough money in the bank, God says, but I am with you. And when we feel oppressed and unable to move forward in life, and when it angers us and frustrates us, God says, but you are my people. I value you. And when we are blind, God says, but I still love you, and I will give you sight. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to Jesus and that is given to us in baptism, through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, we have this Spirit. The Spirit that allows us to open our eyes to the needs of others and to proclaim what Jesus did. And we don't do it often in words. A young man was telling us about how frustrated he was at work because the woman in the next cubicle was going through a messy divorce. And she was crying all the time, and she was on the phone with her lawyer and on the phone with friends and going over these situations. And he finally put earbuds in and listened to music so he could get work done. But, he said, my supervisor listens to her. Every day he swings by her cubicle, and he stays there and he listens to her. I've never seen such a caring person, he said. the supervisor, was proclaiming the era of God's welcome. He was saying to this woman, I value you. I care what you're going through. And in the process, he was proclaiming her value to everyone else in that office. Today, as so long ago, Jesus fulfills the scripture for us. That means he fills it up. He embodies it. Because what he does is that he tells us God welcomes us unconditionally and empowers us to welcome those around us. Amen.